When I got phoned from John to say, or the email from John given the list of what we were going to do, the first thing I done was I phoned my dad. I was just like, guess what, Dad, guess what? They've gave me sex and marriage to talk about. And he was like, oh, you'll be good at that. I was just like, that makes no sense, but thanks for the encouragement. So the thing that it's been, oh man, my head just is spinning with this topic. It's one of those things that you could talk about so many things and go off in so many tangents and stuff like that. And I really asked, and I did read the book, the Search and Issues book, and I just was really asking God to, you know, like, what is it that he wants me to talk about tonight? So my notes are still a jumble, so hopefully when I'm talking, it'll all just kind of make sense. But growing up in the church, it was all, you know, the church kind of, or the sort of the church's idea of it that I had was very simplistic. It was do's and don'ts. So it was all do's and don'ts. It was very simple do's and very simple don'ts. It was don't have sex and do get married. That was kind of it. There was not really much else that went along with it. But sort of looking around this topic, I found that it's amazing. At work, I've got Spotify on, and there's adverts on Spotify about Sexual Health Scotland, and it's like, you know, feel free to talk about sex. And so I was like, maybe this is something I should check out. Might be useful to the talk. No. And I looked at, you know, I was looking at stuff in the media. You know, like, the only one that really sprung to mind, and it's because I hate it with a burning passion, is Hollyoaks. You know, it's like every storyline is someone getting in trouble for having sex with someone that they shouldn't, and it was just like, that doesn't really help. And then I've made in my notes this big bold thing that I added in, Twilight. I hate Twilight. Some whiny little girl that can't do without a guy, and then when he does decide that he loves her, she won't marry him. And I'm like, what? That is so not a great thing to teach our young people. Seemingly in the other ones they do. I just got fed up after that. I was like, no, this is just not what I want to be watching at all. So it's like sex is just like everywhere. Sex sells, you know, the whole thing. Even at work, I had a girl come in asking me to print T-shirts up for her because she was doing a sexual health seminar at Stirling Uni. And she's the only thing, or the only person, or the only thing that I've heard of recently that was actually saying that abstinence was a good thing. Nowhere else did I find it, apart from, you know, like, obviously the church, but, you know, but anything else, like, even the Sexual Health Scotland website had nothing about abstinence or refraining from sex to keep yourself healthy, at least. And it was just, it was so surprising, and it was just so funny as well that, you know, the last month or so, it's just what I've been picking up on, that how it's just bombarding us in our culture all the time. And it's not, and the sad thing is it's not healthy. This great phrase was given to me, people are more worried about losing their phone than their virginity. You know, I was talking to Eck one night and he was telling me that this was what a guy at his work had said to him. And the thing is, the sad thing is in our culture, it is so true. Folk will flip out and feel like they've lost a limb if they lose their phone, but their virginity, it's not that precious. And that's really sad, because I remember at school, at high school, there was a friend of mine, I think I must have been in like fifth year or something. I had a friend who had a little sister who was in first year. She was in first year, and she had to go for an abortion because she'd got herself pregnant. That is just heartbreaking. One of the things that I'd done on my year out between college and university is I took a year out and I went to Dundee, and Dundee's got the highest pregnancy ratings in Scotland. And the one thing that we'd done is I was part of the youth ministry that I was doing was a group called 3D, and it was Decisions Determine Destiny. And what we'd done is we went into the high schools to promote, sort of like, we went in to promote abstinence among the youths. and sort of make them aware of like the consequences of having sex and sort of like the consequences being physical and spiritual. And I was debating as to whether to sort of introduce you to the little thing that we'd done, because it was so lame, you know. But we had this little, these two little sugar paper cutouts of a boy and a girl called Bob and Betty. And we made up this mad story of them going to the Mardi, and they would hook up, go home to Betty's, have sex, and the wee sort of paper characters we would pull out to that were glued together. So they were, this was them having sex, and then Betty's mum and dad came home, so we pulled them apart, and Bob flung Bob away because that was him running out the window, and that was the end of it. And the thing that we, the good thing was though, was the sugar paper. When you pulled them apart, the way that they tore, there would be a wee pink bit of Betty left on Bob and a wee blue bit of Bob left on Betty. And this was us trying to show the kids, you know, that there's not just physical things that happen after you have, or physical consequences, there's spiritual consequences. And I'll get to that one in a minute, sort of like this whole one flesh sort of idea. But this was what we were trying to sort of teach these kids, is you're not just, you know, you don't just get off scot-free even if you don't get, you know, pregnant or something like that. You know, it's a big thing, this decision to have sex. So I don't know, sort of, I don't think we made an impact on the pregnancy rate in Dundee, you know, but maybe there was a couple of kids that just changed their mind. We don't know. We've got no idea what happened after that. But still, in this world, you know, like, sex is no big thing. And the whole thing is, like, people should be allowed to sleep who they want to. But the flip side of that is that generally, if the world still wants someone who's not had many partners. So although they promote this sort of freedom to be as sexually active as you want, when you speak to somebody, they still want to make sure that you're their one and only. You know, so it's a total contradiction. They want these, almost like this biblical ideal, but they don't want to have it forced on them. But they'll still demand it of someone. You know, they would still prefer it. So that's the thing, you know, sex is, the whole thing about our culture is sex is in our culture day in, day out. And it really, really did surprise me sort of how much I was made aware of it, because I've been thinking about this topic. But on the other hand, marriage is a completely different thing. Marriage is outdated, it's up for debate, it's not required, it's antiquated, it's a too big a commitment, so let's just move in and buy a house together or worry about it after we've had kids. It does seem like a real sort of massive generalisation, but it is something that sadly is the case, is just that marriage is always an afterthought. I think my slides are going to be out of sync now, because I'm just sort of going with how it is. But so what's my point? Well, the church has always been very, as I said, the church has always been clear on sex. It's sex and marriage, and no sex until you're married. And why? Because the Bible says so. But really, why did the Bible say so? Well, because God says so. And that's really all I remember growing up, is just that was it. The Bible says so, end of. Fair enough. So the thing was, go back to that one. Right, so, and this was the thing that was always sort of presented to us, you know, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and they become one flesh. In Genesis, and it's quoted in Ephesians and all this sort of stuff, and that's it. There's no sort of further explanation on it. So I was thinking about it and was trying to sort of work out what the point is, and it's all down to design. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So it's all down to design. God's plan for sex and marriage is all down to design. God's the ultimate designer. And I really appreciate that. I understand the whole concept. You know, if I want to design an embroidery for work, there's certain things that I have to do in a certain order to produce the best embroidery that I can. If I miss out something like the backing to stabilize the fabric, I still get a kind of embroidery looking type thing, but it maybe isn't as crisp as it should be, as clear as it is. The stitching might not be quite as close together. So it's all down to design. You've got to do it in the right order. And the thing is it's the reason God designed it this way, it's to be harmonious. It was to give us the best possible finish to our lives. It's not because he's trying to rein us in and stop us enjoying our lives or holding us back in our freedom, but it's just the thing that when we do it in that certain order, he just wants the best for us. It says it there, I have good plans for you. So how can that be a bad thing? If God's got plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give you hope and a future, how is that a bad thing? How can we take God's word anything less than he's got good things for us? If you think about sort of like what the picture of the Garden of Eden is, now I'm not sure if I've left this in. I couldn't find a picture of the Garden of Eden, so I've just put an error up on the screen. Because the thing was, is the only thing, the picture I have in my head of what the Garden of Eden is like, just there was no painters painting, no graphic thing that could really sort of describe it. Your picture in your head of the Garden of Eden will be completely different from mine, but the thing that won't differ is that it's perfect. And the thing is if you look at the story of the Garden of Eden and what it was like before Adam and Eve sinned, this should have been our lives. How amazing is that? This perfect picture should have been our lives. But unfortunately, because we do sin, you know, it's harder to have that perfect picture. But that was God's original plan for us. That perfect picture was meant for us. And this is what God wants for us now. So, a change of mindset is required. In our worldview, it's right to choose how we live our lives. Actually, you know, God gave us free will to be able to do this. But the thing is, it's not about free will. It's about following God's plan. And as I said, it's this good plan that he's got for us. It's hard for us to get our heads around it, because sometimes when you talk about God's plan and God's will, and it tends to be seen as rules and things, and people just don't like rules. They want to fight against them. But the thing is, you know, the picture I've had in my head for this whole time that's really just put my mind at ease is just that it's this perfect plan, this Father who wants the best for you. And the phrase is always put around, you know, that God's path's narrow. Yeah, it's going to be narrow, but the thing is, you know, he's not asking big things of us. He doesn't ask more than what we can do. So it's that thing that if you just keep to the thought that God wants the best for you, then his plans and those rules really are only in your best interest. It's as simple as that. It just seems like a total, why didn't I think of that before? But that's the thing, you know, it's one of those things that you don't tend to think about it. You do want to rebel. You do want to go out and live your life and, you know, make your own decisions. And I must admit, someone that is married standing up the front and saying this is maybe in a good position. But, you know, I wasn't always married. I wasn't always perfect. Not that I'm now. Just clarify that. Not that, you know, but it's that thing, like, you know, I remember sort of when I was going out with Ek, trying to be a Christian and dating someone, it's not easy. It is hard to try and keep in God's plan. Being married, it is a wee bit easier because, you know, it is how God's plan is meant to be, but it's that thing. So I'm not standing up here as someone that's like, you know, I'm married and I've got it all sorted sort of thing. You know, it is that thing that I just feel that I'm in a place now, and I've been able to look at it, and I can see why. I can see the benefit of doing it the way that God wants rather than the opposite way. As I say, I've seen my friends who I grew up with in high school. You know, I grew up in a Catholic school, and my best friends were all of the same sort of opinion as me, you know, like no sex until you're married. And then when folks sort of hit about 17, 18, that kind of went out the window. But one of my friends got pregnant, and actually my two best mates both got pregnant without being married. But one of them, we'd always talked about our plans. And the thing that really sort of saddens me now to think about it is the fact that she had these huge big plans for doing amazing things with her life. Excuse me. But that all changed because she decided to change the way that she'd done things in order. She changed the plan that she knew was God's plan, and she went and done it our own way. And it's not that she doesn't love her kids or regret that or anything, but it's just a shame that the big plans that she would have had for her life, to go off and travel the world and things like that, because she decided to make her own choices and do things in her own order, it's now no longer happening, and she'll probably never do it now because she's got a very young family. So it all comes down to this plan of God's. So going back to the verse, maybe not. Derek, could you click this on for me, please? Could you go on to the next slide? Oh, yeah, so this was the, I forgot this was the next slide. This was the thing that really got me. I was in the co-op looking at, I like going in and trying to get like expensive makeup samples for like £3 out of these magazines and, you know, like Benefit and stuff like that, which you would normally pay £22 for. They're like, oh, freebies for £3. And the thing was, I actually didn't buy them, and it never bothered me before. But again, it's this thing that, because I've been thinking about it, these magazines sell these false ideas of sex. And it's like, you know, you can see the headlines there, you know, are you having enough sex? What's that? Find out how much you really need, and then the sex you want in five questions away. It's just like these desperate attempts and quizzes and stuff like that. And so it was just like, on principle, I was like, well, you know what? I don't really need those free samples. I'm not going to encourage these false ideas that these magazines are presenting. And I stopped buying them. And it was so weird. I was thinking about it, and, you know, it was just so weird thinking to myself, right, so I've not bought a magazine because of a headline, but why should I feed this? You know, like, why should we feed into this sort of idea of what the world thinks that is the right way for sex and marriage to be? You know, we have something so much better that is set out for us, and God's plan is the best for us. So why that was the thing. I was like, why am I going to buy these magazines and encourage? Because folk are buying them and thinking that what's wrong with their life can be solved by these silly magazines. You know, they take some quiz and that's it, their relationship sorted. I'm sorry, honey, it's not going to happen. So to go back to the verse that I had up earlier, and I think, yeah. The verse is, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. So rather than me just firing this at you and that being it, enough said, you know, it's because it's in the Bible. The thing that was pointed out is that this is the plan. This is God's plan put down in three steps for your life. Sorry? It's from Genesis 2, verse 24. And so it says, the man leaves his father and mother, and the leaving represents this choice. It's a public announcement to everybody about a change. And then holding fast is the marriage ceremony where they show everyone their commitment. And then the one flesh is the married couple making the final act to join together to become one in the eyes of God. And that's how the three stages that it takes. That's how it should be. This was fun. X said, I'm about to quote Nicky Gumbel, and X says that I'm a proper preacher now for this, because everybody at Liberton Kirk quotes Nicky Gumbel, so I feel like I'm doing a good thing here. Nicky Gumbel says in the book that sex is a gift, God's gift to marriage. And the way that I equate this in my head, and it's a really daft sort of equation, but it's like scientists doing experiments in a lab. The reason that they do an experiment in the lab is because it's safe, they know what's going to happen, they can predict the outcome. If you do an experiment outside the lab, people can get hurt. And I know that sounds mad to sort of like equate, you know, sort of, you know, sex and marriage to that, but I do feel that it is, you know, the reason God gave sex as a gift to marriage is so that when it's, you know, it's done in a safe place where people can't get hurt, you know, sort of, you know that all the things are lining up, and it's the way that God wants it to be. So it is something that is, you know, it's a safe experiment, if that even sounds right. So that was the way that I was equating this idea of sex being a gift, God's gift to marriage. And when you look at sort of what can happen with sex outside marriage, it does make sense. You know, like STIs, unplanned pregnancies, and even sort of like the heartbreak from a relationship, which can seem quite small as well. But, you know, a heartbreak isn't something that, you know, God wants for us. So that's the thing. It's all down to this perfect plan that God wants the best for us. And so the way that I've kind of come to conclude this all is find a good spouse and you'll find a good life and even more the favour of God. So I think, you know, I found a good spouse. I can totally agree with that. so the conclusion of this is God's desire. All this points to a loving God who doesn't want to control you or to stop you from having fun, but he wants you to be safe, live a good life, and to spread this good news to others. And it's God's simple plan. There's no hidden clauses. There's nothing that he's put out there that's to stop you from doing anything that's going to stop you from having fun, but it's just to prosper you. And it's going back to that verse. It's just to prosper you. And as I said, the thing is that road, that path may be narrow and it may seem hard, but the good thing was is that when God sent Jesus to die for us, that saved us from all our sins. But the other thing was is in John chapter 14, verse 25 to 27, I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I've told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. This is my parting gift to you. Peace. So the whole thing is that although this may seem like a hard thing to act out, it may seem like a challenge, it may sort of, you know, you may want to rebel or, you know, say that it's my right to choose. And that path may be narrow, but God's wanting to give you the best. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us through it. So you're not doing it on your own as well. So you need to remember that you've got, you know, you've got God there to help you. You've got the Holy Spirit there to give you help. So that's the final thing is just that God wants the best for us. He's given us everything. He's given us every chance to make our lives fruitful. He sent Jesus to save us. He left his Spirit to guide us. And he's designed our lives so carefully that when we follow the path that he's put out for us, we receive the best gifts from our dad. So what I'd like to do just to finish off, if Derek can play some music for us, is I'd like us to get into small groups. And I'd like it to be a married couple in at least each group. And then what I want is that in the groups, if you could pray for the married couple, that they're getting blessed through God. If the people in your group are in a relationship, sort of like they're dating, just pray that God gives them guidance and strength to follow his path as well. And if there's single people in your group, I'd just like for you to pray for them that when they find a relationship, that God gives them the strength to follow that out in his design as well. So if we could pray for them, if we could pray in small groups for a wee bit, and then when you're finished praying, there'll be coffee and tea over at the far side there, just to go over there and sort of have some social time. But if we could do that, Derek's going to play music, so there's no time limit on this. And if you have something specific about your life in this that you would like prayed for, just say that to your group as well. So if you know the people in the group, that might be helpful as well. But if you could just pray for, in your groups for a wee bit, and then that's how we'll finish it off. Okay.